It's Illum Group's Andrea Lay, PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills, Sri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom, and I'm coming to you today from the Catskills. I'll be playing Heckingers Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before we get to the CBG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of May 6th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them dependably intriguing. We hope you do too. We're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Over to you, Sri.
In case you're wondering what this background is, I'm at my father-in-law's house all the way in Chennai, India for the next couple of weeks. So what's the message of the week? Kroger Precision Marketing strikes a partnership with none other than Yahoo DSP. So Yahoo DSP advertisers now have access to KPM's audiences for both reach and measurement. Partnership marks KPM's second DSP partnership since last fall and ushers in a new focus on commerce media for Yahoo advertising in particular. Collaborations like this one will define the next phase of growth in retail media as retailers recognize the limitations of monetization on their own digital properties and seek incremental growth by expanding offsite. This is said by Sara Marzano, principal analyst at eMarketer. For advertisers, the delayed but still impending deprecation of third-party cookies, which is now on its way, continues to underpin every decision regarding digital advertising dollars. So solutions that safeguard their investments against that will hold increasing appeal. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Walmart adds a new grocery line to its private brands portfolio. Walmart has announced a new private label grocery brand called Better Goods. The line includes 300 items spanning categories such as frozen, dairy, snacks, beverages, pasta, soups, coffee, and chocolate. With most items priced under $5, Better Goods focuses on three key components: culinary experiences, plant-based, and made without. The retailer said Better Goods marks not only its largest private food brand launch in two decades, but also its fastest grocery brand brought to market. Over to you, Melissa.
Thanks, Andrea. So Save Mart companies roll out in-store retail media networks. It's not enough that we have online. Now we're moving to in-store retail media networks. The Save Mart companies plans to roll out In-Store Connect, an in-store retail media network powered by Quad Graphics Inc. To start, 16 of the grocery company stores will have digital screens, kiosks, end caps, shelf screens, and vertical banners throughout, allowing CPG partners to showcase promotions, product information, and recommendations to shoppers. The program will eventually roll out to all of the Save Mart companies, approximately 200 stores. This is Save Mart's latest retail media effort, coming almost a year after a launch of its own retail media network. Over to you, Peter.
Thanks, Melissa. Rite Aid expands Uber Eats partnership for alcohol delivery in 8 states. Nearly 1,000 Rite Aid stores will now offer alcohol delivery via retailers' expanded partnership with Uber Eats. Customers of legal drinking age can get delivery from select stores in California, Idaho, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Virginia, and Washington. Quote, our collaboration and trusted partnership with Uber Eats underscores our commitment to meet the evolving needs of our customers and providing a seamless digital shopping experience that complements their busy lives, unquote, said Jeannie Walden, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Rite Aid, the U.S.'s third largest pharmacy retailer. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hey everyone, it's Sri and PVSB, the CPG Guys. We've got a very special episode for you today. We just crossed 20,000 downloads. First and foremost, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all of the attention, support, feedback, and camaraderie that you've provided to us on this journey. I think what we want to do for this episode is celebrate that by giving you a little of the, since Sri and I are both fans of the hardball game, a little inside baseball behind why we started this podcast, how it evolved, and talk about some of the great guests and conversations that we've had since we began in late March of 2020. So with that, I want to just start off with the fundamental premise of why did we start doing this? Well, there are a lot of theories, but the truth is this. As we started off the pandemic and we're a couple of weeks in, Sri reached out to me and said, Peter, that idea we've been knocking around for about a year of maybe writing a blog or something else, well, we need to resurface that and talk about doing something in the midst of this pandemic. Because one, we can probably help to educate the community of CPG e-commerce professional as to how brands and retailers are now engaging consumers in an increasingly digital world. And it was growing so exponentially in late March, early April. But two, well, we got to kill some time because we're getting a little stir crazy sitting in our houses in the midst of this pandemic. So we decided we would create a YouTube channel. Why? Well, we'd been playing around with Zoom for the last couple of months, doing all these meetings and such, and said, as long as we can record it, why not just do that? So we started off with this concept of question and answer. It's a format that we've maintained to this day, but when we first launched, it was more about Sri and myself talking. One week, one would be asking questions, the other one would answer, and the following week, we would reverse it. And so we recorded four episodes. And while we love the content that we were talking about, a couple of things came to our attention that we really needed to address. First and foremost, YouTube is a very active platform. It just simply means that in order to participate in it, you have to open up and sit there and watch it. That limited the attention and the breadth of the audience that we could probably draw. The second thing was that as much as Sri and I love to listen to each other drone on about all sorts of things that we find fascinating, we realized that pretty quickly our audience would grow tired of that. And so we experimented. In episode five, we invited on John Jessup. He's the CEO of a company called 1440. At the time, it was called Reputation Studio. He's since renamed it. But we decided to test the waters. And we invited John and had a very lively conversation talking about how brands can engage consumers when they're giving them feedback, either on their brand site or on retailer sites, by answering questions, responding to reviews, and doing it at scale in a uniformed way. Well, we really liked that. And the audience seemed to like it as well. It was a fairly nascent audience, but what feedback we got was, hey, why don't you invite some more guests on? So that's when we got our creative and frankly, our competitive juices flowing. I'm going to let Sri talk to you about how we transformed this particular platform, one, into audio, and two, into a guest-driven engagement medium. Sri?
So I'll first allude to how we started the show as well, the Sri version, not radically different from Peter's. When the pandemic started, I like giving back to the industry, just like Peter, and finding a like-minded person who puts the consumer at the center and really has been on a mission to deliver quality products at value for the consumer. Peter was the right guy. And a little known secret, Peter and I talked about this a couple of years ago, sitting at a Marriott in Chicago when I was there, I can't remember, for some sort of forum or some sort of external keynote event. And we said we're going to write articles. And again, writing is nice. Reading is harder. Podcast format seemed to be the best format. And eventually, we geared that way after the experimentation Peter described about. But for those of you who follow us, you know we have a friendly Dodgers-Yankees rivalry going on.
Really? Do we talk about that much, Sri?
Occasionally. We're talking about the Japanese Nippon Yankees.
That's right.
So that said, Peter also tried to one-up each other on the guests we bring to the show. So I had to ask my friend, my longtime friend in the industry, and who's also been a mentor to me, on the changing dynamic and forces of nature in the retail and CPG industry, Mr. Brian Gildenberg, who's now SVP of Commerce for the Omnicom Media Group. And he agreed to do a six-part episode with us to kick off the show, really. And after John had joined us as the first guest of the show, after Peter and Bree and Sri's musings on YouTube. And we did a 6-part series that focused on everything from brand digital transformation and what it's going to take, how retailers are really beefing up muscle on e-commerce. Of course, none of these conversations are complete without Amazon in the center. And then we also focus on the shopper and what's really changing with habits, and are really new habits forming. Brian's opinion, of course, he shared with y'all, is most of these habits, it's too early to really say if it's a permanent inflection, temporary, what will happen. And then in episode, the episode 12, he actually gives provocative future predictions of what's going to happen in this ecosystem with the pandemic and forward. If you didn't catch that one, it was one of the early kind of forecasts ahead of the whole pandemic curve on what would happen with our industry. I would encourage you to go back and listen to, again, I'll point out episode 12. And of course, right after that, Peter had to one-up me. So he invited the founder of Shop Talk, Grocery Talk, Money Talk, and the Shop Talk Meetup platform now, of course, which has since been sold, Mr. Anil Agarwal himself, who was episode 13, and talked to us about how those forums were created, why they were created, and why they were successful, as well as his love for mathematics with the great Indian mathematician Ramanujam, which, Anil, we still want you back on the show so we could actually have that conversation about math and Ramanujam. And then, Peter, what happened next?
Yeah, that was really terrific. Once we had Anil and Brian, we'd clearly established ourselves as a platform where serious and important people come to talk. And I really love that conversation with Anil, right? It was more far-reaching and more detailed than I think you and I even imagined when we first started talking to him. Anil doesn't do many podcasts or interviews about himself. He'll talk oftentimes about his businesses. So we were very grateful for that. Yeah, the next one we had was we invited on then North American president of dunnhumby, Jose Luis Gomes. Jose was terrific. He brought the data and insight side to the equation, whereas we've been very focused on talking about commerce and retail. He's now over running product at Google, but it was a tremendous conversation. He was very frank. He was very engaging. And we talked about a lot of the things that were very much top of the news in the midst of this pandemic. What were the implications and the insights coming out of all of the shifting that was going on and the disruption of habits in shopping as a result of the pandemic? We then started a series talking to some really interesting people. We're very focused at this podcast. Just
for our audience, Jose Luis Gomes was episode 14.
Yeah. We're very focused here on making sure that the people we bring to our audience are diverse from a number of different perspectives in terms of their experience, their gender, their backgrounds, everything. And so it's very important that we let many different voices speak in this wonderful platform that you've helped us build. So one of the people we introduced to you was Krista Karpin. She founded a digital agency on the West Coast called Milk Media. She's very much an entrepreneur, and it was great to have her talk about how she's been getting her business off the ground. We then moved on to talk to a former colleague of Sri's from his J&J days, Aisha Khan. She is the chief strategy officer at Pharmapax, one of the largest 3P warehouse businesses servicing Amazon and other marketplaces. And she was really tremendous because she talked about how she built that supply chain experience at J&J and how she was able to transform that into the role she's got now. The next person we spoke to was Osha Savour from Revlon. She oversees e-commerce at the luxury brand Elizabeth Arden. And it was really interesting talking to her about when brands should or should not be on marketplaces, what they should be doing from a D2C strategy. It was extremely enlightening. And then, of course, another one of Sri's great colleagues from his J&J days, Jeff Smith, who was the former chairman.
To be fair, this whole podcast series would have been incomplete without having my former mentor, who really at Johnson & Johnson is the former group chairman for North America for Johnson & Johnson, really the one thing he taught me was he let me be me. And a large reason why I kind of learned a ton about e-commerce and grew in e-commerce was he let me be in front of a ton of retailers. He took me to NACDS year over year. And in addition, really let me play out everything from pure play to D2C, obviously Amazon. We did the first few industry top to tops with Amazon. We did pharma packs, the entire spectrum. So I wanted to call that out. You know, Jeff, thank you. But as well as being on the show here, Jeff, of course, now is an entrepreneur, Peter. And he's done the classic transformation from being a leader 30 plus years in the CPG industry to now leading several healthcare related digital businesses. And I'm sure Jeff is going to diversify into other areas as well.
Sri, we had a couple more contacts you know pretty well in the next two episodes. You want to cover that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right after that, we ended up talking talent management. And one of my friends in the industry who's really an e-commerce recruiter, works with private equity, as well as an executive coach, Suzanne Kretol, who also has shaped and influenced my thinking on the talent workforce, et cetera. So we, for those of you who missed that episode, I would strongly encourage you to go back and listen to episode 19, because we covered the spectrum of what makes e-commerce talent. Of course, good talent, average talent, bad talent is in the eyes of the beholder. But the important thing about that episode was just what makes e-commerce talent? What are the attributes? We had discussions all the way on here are the five things that allows somebody to be successful. And then we had somebody who actually worked with me at Johnson & Johnson, who's now the general manager of e-commerce for the Emerson Group, Anu Pingali Bliss, where we talked about how brokers, distributors, and of course Emerson is a supply chain expert as well, are getting into this full-time and trying to learn what's going on as well as muscle up, which makes the industry even stronger. And then we pivoted to brands and we had a powerhouse, Peter. Who was it?
Yeah, before I say who we had, I'll mention just one thing about Suzanne. She's become a great resource to me of tremendous counsel. And, you know, she's the one who invited me on to Clubhouse, Sri. But in any event, yeah, we decided we needed a big blockbuster brand. And I went right to my
That's a little jab closer. At Sri for not sending an invite. That's pretty clear, Peter. I got it. I got the message.
You got invited by many people. I only got invited. Well, I have been invited by many people since, but she was the first one who got me in the Clubhouse. So I'll give her props for that. Thank you, Suzanne. I love you for it. Now, we wanted to get a big name, someone that would draw a tremendous amount of audience. And that's kind of how we work it here. And that's also part of the strategy. And we'll be pretty honest about that. You know, we want to be able to talk to you about a lot of things, but we need an audience in order to hear that. And so bringing on big brands with people that have important things to say, well, that draws a huge audience, because when they see that this person is on the show, well, they start to listen to that episode and then they start to listen to other episodes. So probably one of our first big names was Coca-Cola. And my go-to person at Coke is my dear friend, John Mount. John has a number of different roles in the organization in his 20 plus year career there. He primarily worked in the sales organization before going to Atlanta in 2011 and taking on a customer marketing role. Most recently, he has been running sports marketing at Coca-Cola, so managing the application of all the licensed assets around major sports leagues and teams. And John was a wonderful conversation about how his career has progress through the organization, how he moved from the sales to some more of the marketing side. It was a really great conversation and it got us some great, great, great audience. I then talked to an old friend of mine from my Dunnhumby and CVS days, Dave Buckingham from Acribo. If you don't know who they are, they help retailers do targeted marketing on register receipts, recognizing that while digital is all the big thing, most transactions are still going on in retail stores. And so they take advantage with a small footprint of SaaS sitting on top of the POS system to be able to print out really creative and targeted communications. It was and great talking to you.
Before you continue, Peter, with some of the other guests that anchored our episode 20 plus with John Mount, I want to just remind our audience, you know, that was one of the examples of how Peter and I just don't focus on simply e-commerce and UGC or omnichannel click and collect. We also strongly believe in the in-store business, which we are both grounded in, is built, and our careers have largely been built on. And retail here always anchored on the store model because of the distribution points, and it always will anchor on the store model go forward. Omnichannel simply becomes just a way of life.
Yeah, Sri, that's a very good point. We are focused truly on omnichannel. We are not focused exclusively on digital, though we have a strong penchant for how digital can influence everything across the spectrum of unified commerce. But that was really good. Sri, what happened after Buck came and visited us?
After we went through that, we started thinking about themes that we wanted to kind of anchor on. And I'm going to point out the several themes we've had on the show. Clearly, we've had Entrepreneurs Month in Q1 of 2021, which is we had a series of entrepreneurs come to us from the service providers to retail, retailers like Box.com, as well as brand startups. And then we've had retail media as a theme. And then we've also had analytics as a theme. And then Peter and I decided somewhere in there that many of you reached out to us. We asked you what you want to hear from us about via poll. And a large proportion of you, over 50%, said profitability is the number one thing on your mind. So Peter and I decided to kind of go back to the drawing board and work hard on a 5-part profitability series, 5 sets of episodes, where we jumped all the way into the different pieces of retail media, which has obviously since then really blossomed up in our industry as one of the most important topics go forward and planning for it. We got into trade rates and how you manage e-commerce trade rates, including a pro forma P&L example we left out there for you folks to look at, how you compare customer P&Ls with Amazon, a question that comes up often, which is e-commerce going to be dilutive or accretive from a profit series? And we covered end-to-end of including supply chain chargebacks and how you deal with those and how they appear on the P&L, et cetera. So that, I felt, Peter, was a very important series for us because it also gave us a chance to take a deep dive and come back. Do you want to tell us, Peter, about the several retail media conversations we've had here?
Yeah, Sri, and those tended to be some of our most listened to episodes. One of the first big ones we had was Josh Ryder from Instacart. In fact, today he is still the most downloaded episode in the CPG Guys podcast history. But Josh told us in great detail what were the capabilities of the Instacart ad platform and how brands could invest in that. In fact, post that, Josh told us that he received a tremendous amount of outreach from brands as a result of the explanation and overview that he provided. So good on them. And I'm glad we're able to bring that to our brand audience. We also spoke about the Amazon platform with our friend Kiri Masters. And she started off what has been a series of conversations with agencies that are focusing on Amazon. And as we start to learn, a lot of these agencies, with the growth of 3P marketplaces, are expanding their capabilities beyond just Amazon and starting to look at Walmart, Target, and other marketplaces in terms of their strategic consultancy. So really great conversation. We hit up our good friend Omar Haik at Bimbo Bakeries from another brand perspective to talk about how that brand was focusing on production during the pandemic. It was really fascinating, Sri, learning that they made an early commitment that they would focus on the most important products in their assortment to the detriment of their tail, so that they could ensure that they had as little out of stocks as possible on those core items. So for those of you who liked some of their niche items, unfortunately, you may have found them hard to find during the pandemic, but that was so that they could make sure that the core items in their assortment satisfied the broad consumer needs. So really good. And then, of course, we talked with Pat Burke at Fetch Rewards about how brands can use digital loyalty mechanisms to promote the purchasing of their products. But really great stuff. We had a great entrepreneurial conversation with our friend Gia Serier, who went through a series of startups. One was a mobile children's clothing boutique called Mini Emporium, and her most recent activity, which is an Instagram flash sales site called 2020 Boutique. And then, of course, we spoke with Carol Krakowski from Power Reviews about some insights around how people were planning to shop in the holiday season. And then we spoke with our friend Kathy Lewenberg, the COO of Drizly. You may have heard recently that Drizly has been acquired by Uber. She really talked about how that business is different and how they go about managing and scaling that business, particularly during the challenge of the pandemic when their growth was so astronomical. Everybody was working two jobs, just making sure that the platform didn't fail. And it didn't. They were very fortunate in that respect, and they were able to develop it. And then lastly, I'll mention, before I pass it over to Sri, our friend Wendy Liebman, who runs WSL Strategic Retail. She talked to us about this concept of where shoppers going as a result of this pandemic. Are habits being formed? No, not yet, but habits are certainly being disrupted and people are getting new experiences, and where that'll pan out, a lot to be seen. But some really great conversations getting up as we were doing some of these wonderful sessions in the midst of Sri talking about his brainchild, which was the profitability series. Sri, how about packaging? What were your thoughts on that?
I don't think I'll take credit as a brainchild for the profitability series, Peter, since we did that one together. We jumped into a discussion on everything UGC analytics, as well as supply chain and packaging, and with the packaging experts from SGSCO, Holly and Rob. And then we hit episode 37. And for those of you who missed episode 37, my former manager at Revlon, Miss Catherine Rogero-Lovici, strongly encourage y'all to go back and listen to episode 37. It's the only time on the show we actually didn't purely discuss an omni-channel conversation on retailer, but we actually had a geopolitics conversation, thought-provoking conversation.
I wish we could have gotten her to give us her true opinion on things, Sri. It was like prying the clam out of the shell. It was really hard. Catherine.
Needless to say, Peter and I were significantly inspired by that conversation, because not only did we learn, but we were able to have an honest conversation about the way the world is shaping itself from a geopolitics standpoint, several countries in the mix, and what the human race wants to give back to others on I would say, planet Earth. And from there, we had an ex-colleague of mine, a friend of Peter's as well, Christina from Johnson & Johnson, where we went deep into the world of analytics and e-com, including talking about what metrics matter and how you shape consumer cohorts, radically different from the in-store business model. And
I think we can probably break the news here. Christina starts as the new Global Shopper Insights lead at Mondelez. Ooh, that's a big piece of news. We're got to put these little Easter eggs. Yes.
At the time Peter and I recorded it, of course, Valentine's Day, we couldn't miss out talking to each other.
Yeah.
Then, by the way, Sri,
will you be my Valentine?
There we go, Peter. Okay. I think we've already started the day, right?
Yeah.
And I got my pink on for you, Peter.
I got my gray on. The pink's in the wash, but that's good. But Christina was a great conversation. She was so knowledgeable about the insights aspect of e-commerce. We've talked to a lot of practitioners about operations and about selling, but not really digging into the insights as much. And that was great. But wow, the next episode, Sri, that was a humdinger. Who do we have after Christina?
Speaking of guests, we got Whitney Cooper, our friend. Peter and I both, of course, know her from the Walmart, what was then called the Walmart Media Group and is now Walmart Connect, of course, since it's been renamed January 2021. Where we dived into the depths of her new role that was formed when she came in to join the Walmart, the retailer. And she was really a liaison between merchandisers and the media group, helping shape how the two connect as well as outcomes for the consumer. So that was a good foray into then another guest would come back in episode 43, my friend Matthew Smith from the Walmart Media Group, who is a good friend and partner of mine in the beauty segment. because I knew him from Revlon days as well as from Johnson & Johnson days. And in between, we had the CEO of Orca Pacific, kind of round two on how to win at Amazon. John, of course, John Giroshow has been, he started Orca Pacific 10 years ago. They're an Amazon-focused agency. And another opportunity, episode 42, like Kitty Masters to Learn, which was episode 23, to take a deeper dive on what are the anchors which make Amazon win. And then we had Mr. Powerhouse and Mr. Energy himself, episode 44. Who did we have from Sam's Club, Peter?
We had Stephen H. Carroll. My goodness, what a great conversation. Associate Director of Media. He has been instrumental in working with IRI to deliver just an absolutely impressive retail media platform. The targeting that they have, think about it. They can target based upon purchasing behavior. What do we know about club stores? 100% of all transactions captured and identified at the household level. Talk about, you know I'm a data guy. Talk about a rich targeting asset. But one of the most interesting things I learned from Stephen was actually about this application that they have at Sam's and rolled out into Walmart, which is called Scan and Go. It's built into the mobile app. Now, you hear all the talk about Amazon Fresh stores and their smart carts, but think about all the capital investment that goes into that. Scan and Go relies on the hardware that the consumer has invested in themselves, their smartphones. And this is how it works. And I use it religiously now at my local Walmart. Walk in, open up your Walmart app. It recognizes that you're in the store. It asks you if you want to start Scan and Go. You click yes, and up pops your camera. And it says, scan your first item. Hold it over the barcode. It immediately recognizes the item, puts it in your virtual basket. You put it in your physical basket. And then it says you're ready to scan your next item. When you're done, walk to the register. Hold up your phone and say, check out. It will now start looking for a QR code. When you walk up to the Walmart register, there's your QR code on the screen. Hold it up. It asks you if you want to pay with your card on file. You say yes. All of a sudden on your phone, it says, here's your digital receipt. You never touched the register. You never touched anything other than taking the product off the shelf and putting it in your basket. Phenomenal and saves a lot of time, safety concerns. Phenomenal. Stephen, thank you. If for nothing else, that particular enlightenment has been dramatic on my life. But he is so knowledgeable and such a great and inspirational leader. And if you don't follow him on LinkedIn, you should, because he's always posting really great comment. And he, the thing I love about Stephen, he cheers everybody on. He wants everyone to succeed, Sri.
Absolutely, Peter. Then we had episode 46, an academic view on retailing. And we brought on Professor Venki Shankar, a personal friend of mine. Our daughters are actually both in the entertainment business and go to NYU, the Clive Davis School of Music. And Professor Venki Shankar, who's, of course, the Texas A&M retailing professor for their institute there, he and I had met at a forum many years ago where we were both keynote addresses on the changing forces of the CPG industry and retail. And he came here and talked about how, from an academic perspective, the future was already shaped 5-7 years ago. And what's playing out now is the actions of 5-7 years ago, which is why there are clear winners and those that are actually trying to really muscle up now and trying to move forward. And then we had our friend from Profit Arrow, Mr. Mike Black himself, who coined a term, diva. Do you remember that? So, Mike, you're welcome back on the show to come and explain to our audience what diva is one more
time. But I do remember something that he said that was very important,
yes,
which is, Sri, if you've got a dead body and you need to hide it on a retail site, where should you put it?
Anywhere after the first page or after the top three listings.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He really let you know that if you're not optimizing for SEO to get your product on the first page, you're doing your products a disservice. Mike, you're always welcome back. You have great insights. And if you're not following Profitero, you should, because they produce tremendous, tremendous insights. Very, very good. We then went back to the well and said, hey, I don't think we've bubbled up enough from Coca-Cola. And we invited on the North American Chief Digital Integration Officer, Brian Sappington. And Brian was a very different conversation. In this particular one, It was mostly about servant leadership. And Brian was very inspirational in sharing how he builds teams and how he inspires them to perform at exceptional levels. Really great conversation. Sri and I were quite taken by what he was saying. So, and that was also one of our biggest, most downloaded episodes ever. We then did something very interesting, Sri. We spoke after talking to Stephen Carroll. He mentioned the work that they had done with IRI to build their retail media platform. We said, why not talk to the other side of the equation? So we invited on IRI's Michael Elgus. Michael is the EVP of retail media platforms and technology. And he talked to us at length about how this particular space is evolving, how it's growing in importance, and how their solutions can do it. What was also interesting is this became the first in what we hope will be an ongoing series of podcast swaps. We actually appeared in the same week on both the CPG Guys podcast, and we were rebroadcast on the IRI Growth Insights podcast. So we got a tremendous amount of broad audience, some great crossover, and we built our audience as a result of that. And then we decided, since we were getting really close to Christmas, we should probably celebrate with some friends that are in the business of celebrating. Sri, who'd we have on next?
We had Wayne and Sarah from Constellation Brands, and it was a rich discussion. Of course, there was a celebratory conversation given the time of the year, but we had a rich discussion really on how in the business model they're in, which is beverages and alcohol, how they're shaping omni-channel conversations, including third-party marketplaces, content.
Yeah, and then we had a couple of conversations. Sri was otherwise indisposed, and so I spoke with my dear old friend from IRI, Ken Coogan, who's been an independent consultant for several decades. He runs share groups of CPGs, people at CPGs who have similar positions, but they're non-competing with each other. This way they can talk about topics without fear of running into competitive situations. But he had fielded a study on the pandemic and how shopper marketers were operating. Really great information. We have that actual survey on the CPG Guys site. I encourage you to go download it. And then we talked
one
with
thing, Peter, I want to point out that when you look up our podcast on Buzzsprout, we actually have speaker notes appended as to what questions were answered by our guests on each of the episodes. And often when the guests are releasing a survey or a white paper, we will put the link there so you can actually take a look at it.
Yeah, that we should mention. We should broaden that a little bit, Sri, and just say that we're pretty diligent about making rich speaker notes. So you'll find hyperlinks to our guests on their profile on LinkedIn, the companies that they are at. And if they've brought research along with them, we'll post links to that. So please dig in. You know, it's kind of like back in the day when you bought the LP at the Tower Record Store and you'd pull out the album, but then they'd have those liners on the inside. And oftentimes there was some great little tidbits of information written on the liner on the inside of the album cover. Well, we're kind of old school guys, and we like to include a lot of content there, and we're very proud of it. So please check out the liner notes in your podcast app. You'll find a lot of great links there, and you'll see the questions that we're asking. So really good. I'll say this.
Peter,
go ahead, Sri.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we get to how we rounded out the end of the year, we invited on someone that I've known for a number of years, Bridget McCarthy Lazda. I met her at Coke.
And then, we're not going to say too much about that episode because there's a little hidden thing I'd love for the audience to go discover by listening to episode 52.
Okay.
Peter and Sri almost moved to Hawaii.
That is true. We were.
To answer the question, though, you have to listen to the episode.
We don't want to tell people about it because then they're going to steal it away from us. I think we've been negotiating back and forth on LinkedIn lately, Sri. I think there's a shot at us getting that Hawaii gig. But Bridget, she is the beverage boss. Coca-Cola, Heineken, and now King Juice, which makes Calypso Lemonade. Really great conversation about someone who's had a more traditional sales experience and commercialization. So really good stuff. But then Sri and I think it was like right after Christmas, it kind of dawned on us and we said, do you know what every holiday season has? Awards
ceremony.
Of course, everybody celebrates. And that's when we came up with the Omnis. Sri, why don't you explain how quick is... I'd like to say that there was a tremendous amount of preparation and thought put into this. But honestly, Sri and I came up with the concept, the nominations, and the winners in pretty record time. It was like 48 hours we put this whole thing together, to be truthful.
To me, it sounds like we really wanted to do it and get it done.
We just wanted to... It's exactly it. We knew that we had to get there. We had to have brands, we had to have marketplaces, and we had to have retailers in the mix.
Absolutely. So what I want to point out is Peter and I are not affiliated to any brand or an agency or service company or a retailer. All our views on the show is totally our independent thinking. And our views, we don't represent anybody. And as a result of which, we felt that our collective learnings, 50 years of experience together in the CPG industry, we would actually talk to who is leading in the marketplace overall in terms of retailers, brands, true marketplaces, which are leading third-party marketplaces. And we also talked about D2C in the process. And there were two episodes on retailers, episode 55 and 56, marketplace was episode 54. And brands was episode 53. Do take a listen in. We did that somewhat in jest, somewhat truly. A lot of research went in by Peter and me across the board on who's leading. We read several articles. We really dug into what the news in the marketplace and really picked those. So come back and tell us what you think about that.
Sri, I think what we should say is clearly the awards were subjective and it was based upon what you and I gave. They were no means to be definitive.
That's correct.
But then again, no subjective award show really is. We thought that they were companies that needed to be recognized for some great work. We wanted to bring them to your attention and we wanted you to help them celebrate it with us. I think going into next year, the message was people resoundingly love this. And there'll probably be some more rigor and thought put to it. In fact, a very large market research company has come to us in the last couple of weeks and said, we love the Omnis. We'd like to help you prepare for that going into next year. So stay tuned for this holiday season. We may have some even bigger Omni Awards for the second annual prestigious Omni Awards. Maybe we'll have to actually get trophies, Sri. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I personally like the Heisman Trophy. You like the Vince Lombardi?
I like the World Series Trophy, Sri. You know which one. Oh, you don't know. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah, the one which the Dodgers have a net. How many?
Dodgers are holding it right now. See, this is where you can eat your cake and have it too. The Dodgers have won the World Series, and they have the
Peter's
trophy.
Peter's answer to Sri's 27-plus championships is we're holding it now. We'll let the audience decide what's more valuable.
Sri, the Omnis were big. The Omnis were big, but they weren't big enough. How did we have to close out the year?
The word that comes to mind is back to the future.
Back and to the future. Dom, bom, bom.
Exactly.
Ba-da-bum, bum, bum, bum. Ba-da-bum, bum, 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 bum.
Truth be told, the only reason I came up with that is I saw a picture of Michael J. Fox this morning flash by on the news. And so
my wife's czar's favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future. Hi, Zara.
I love that movie too.
Yeah.
There's no debate. I love that movie too. I can go back and watch it any day. In fact, you just reminded me I need to get my kids to watch it with me if they'll sit down with me for 2 hours and spend time with their dad.
Sri, we make it to 1,000 episodes. You and I have to get matching DeLoreans.
Done.
Yeah.
Done deal. And so we invited back Brian Gildenberg, who was, of course, we said, one of the first few guests on the show, if not number two after John Jessup. And he did a 6-part episode way back when we started this conversation between Peter and me.
Was Brian actually our first person to appear twice on the podcast?
Brian was our first person and he was gracious enough to come back.
He was not. Who appeared twice? Once as a guest. Or actually twice as a co-host.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's a first mover. He's a first mover.
Mr. Chris Berry.
That's right.
Yeah, this show cannot be completed without talking about our partnership with Chris Perry, who has been gracious enough to come twice on the show. Episode 24, Balance of Year 2020 Outlook, way back in summer. That was Chris and me. And then, Peter, you chatted with Chris as well.
Yeah, it was. I think it was with Mr. Buckingham from Acribo. He was the guest host, as you were, I believe, probably working on launching your D2C business at the time and couldn't make it for that conversation.
Something of that nature. Of course, I do consulting in several spaces. Yep. But Chris, we want to say thank you for having come back twice. And then Brian, of course, my industry mentor and shaper, he came back to wrap up the year that was 2020, as well as give his provocative predictions on, you know, we had a 9 months of data at this stage in terms of what's going on with the pandemic and omnichannel retail. And he used a ton of that to kind of give his predictions for 2021 and go forward. And the one that stuck out in his mind, my mind, our minds, Peter and me, is how he defined the most difficult challenge ahead of the industry or opportunity in the next 12 months is planning season, how to plan go forward and not anniversary. And then Founders Month kicked off. We had Che Huang, the CEO and co-founder of Boxed.com. If you don't know Boxed.com, they're an online club-like retailer, followed by another founder, Katie Hodzi from Grocery Shopee, one of Peter's friends. And what I loved about that episode is what Grocery Shopee provides is an easy way to take items in a recipe and add all of them into the basket in one shot across multiple retail platforms, which I think from a UX and convenience perspective, awesome.
You know, Sri, when I think of Katie Hodzi, the word that comes to mind is hustle. She works like crazy to drive her business. We were really fortunate to talk to her. Do you know that she is our fifth most downloaded episode ever? If you haven't listened to her talk about how she built this solution out of necessity to save time in her life and how strong she's made it, I'm really happy to say that as a result of appearing on the show, her business's pipeline has exploded. And that's another thing I want to talk just briefly about, Sri. Part of our particularly focusing on in between some of the big names at the big companies, we invite on people that are entrepreneurs because we think what they have is really interesting. And we want the rest of the industry to know that and to help them accelerate their business. So it was a really great opportunity for us to talk to Katie. And we're so pleased to hear that her appearance on the show was instrumental in her helping to accelerate the attention that is given to what is arguably a phenomenal white label solution for retailers that helps consumers, to your point, save time by just adding all the items, not to just a shopping list, but actually into the digital basket. And then indeed, we had another great success story. We invited on Rob Gonzalez. Rob is the founder and chief marketing officer at Salsify. He and one of his colleagues at Salsify, Peter Crosby, created an organization called the Digital Shelf Institute. It is an organization that is dedicated to helping brands around insights and success on the digital shelf. It was just such a great conversation. We talked at length about things like what is a PIM? Why do brands need that? How do they go about organizing all their content and make sure that they're successful? What differs one digital shelf from another? And also how they made sure that they didn't let obstructions occur in the old way of doing things, thinking back to the data sets that were more focused on planograms and not so much on very rich content that digital shelves and PDBs needed. So that was really great. And then we had a fun conversation with another entrepreneur. Now, a little bit outside of our space, but we invited on Tara West of Tara West Fashion. Now, she called herself Fluff, but it was nothing of the sort to Sri and me. She helped us talk about really interesting things like how people are buying and shopping for fashion in a world where their conversations are dominated by Zoom and Google Meet and what have you, and how you create the right environment to be successful. Even when you're not going outside, you still need to do business. That was just a really fun conversation. And Tara, we really enjoyed doing it with you. Then we made a big shift. Sri, why don't you talk to us about how we moved back to the left coast and really honed in kind of the expertise around Amazon?
Yeah, Peter, you're right. So we came back to Amazon. Of course, again, Q1 2021 was Founders Month. Episode 63 was with an ex-Amazonian, Guru Hariharan, the CEO and founder of Commerce IQ. From where we went to episode 65, which was Andrea Lay, the co-founder, partner, and VP of Insights at IdeoClick, which is an Amazon-based agency. If you listen to 63 and 65, you take a deep dive down into the minds of people who are both ex-Amazonians, Guru and Andrea, and they spend large parts of their career at Amazon. In episode 64, we went back to a brand founder, you know, true to our promise of brand, retail, and service providers, Lior Leishmanstein, the founder of That's It Bar. And he talked about how one can have their daily servings of fruits, which I thought was pretty cool, Peter. And why don't you tell us what's latest on the show, hot off the press?
Yeah, we recently completed a two-part series with my friend, Stephen G. Coven. Stephen, I met during my time at PowerViews. He was at the time the VP of Digital Experience for Hormel Foods. He was just about to start a new job, which he announced at the beginning of last week. He is the new VP of Omnichannel and e-commerce for Crossmark, one of the premier brand brokers out in the industry. And Stephen had come to me and said, Peter, I loved your very first episode, Trust and Authenticity, where you talked about ratings and reviews, but I thought we needed to cover it more extensively, particularly as the digital shelf is growing in importance. And we mapped out a two-part episode. Now, did this because Stephen wanted to do it. I think it added to what I had already built in the first episode. And he was very passionate about it. And I hope you listen to it because it really does get to the heart of the content experience and how that can be applied in different areas of the marketing funnel. Not only that little section of a product page called ratings and reviews, but really great conversation. We expect that Stephen will play a larger role in contributing to the CPG Guys franchise going forward. But Sri, why don't you round it out for us?
Coming tomorrow, at the time this episode was recorded on Valentine's Day 2021, Feb 15th, we have the EVP of Flywheel Digital, Alex McCord, a personal friend again from the past when we worked together at Johnson & Johnson. And I'll give a little peek under the tent of the guests we have upcoming. Well, I want to address the one Q, one answer show part, take two. Peter and I decided we don't want to just hear ourselves again, and we invited special guest Britton Ladd.
We don't want to listen to ourselves? Oh.
I think so, yeah, Peter. We decided, pretty clear at this stage.
We decided to invite someone who rarely has an opinion, and we had get another situation where we had to really pry that clam out of the shell. Sri, who'd we invite on?
Britton Ladd, a industry kind of omnichannel transformation leader who's been at it quite some time. And he works for Pulse SI. And what we mean by the 1Q, 1A series is we actually do that. And yes, we have an Instagram channel, CPG Guys, where every weekday for 4 weeks in a row, we'll be featuring Britton Ladd, and he'll answer one profound transformational question in the CPG industry. And then we also have Michael Kahn, the CEO of Astound Commerce, up for you. Russ Heilbrunn, who's the director of sales for Target at Johnson & Johnson. We've talked to Michael Zakor, who is another industry digital transformation leader where we had
expert at supply chain and everything Asia.
China.
Yeah.
Everything Asia, China. We'll get into the world of what we can learn from there. We had the CEO and founder of ShipHero, Aaron Rubin, and another friend of mine, Darnley Mosier, where we actually talk about business with the U.S. federal government, because she's the founder and CEO of Mercier Process Group IT Services, and how she works with her primary client is the U.S. federal government. So we have, we have other guests as well, but that gives you kind of like a summary of our adventure doing this for the last 8 or 9 months. We can't thank all of you enough for helping us reach 20,000 downloads. This show is actually for you, shaped by you. Continue to tell us what you want to hear. The easiest, best way is just go to ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys. Peter and I look at it every now and then, and that's where we learn from. You shape the profitability series. You shape the 1Q, 1A series. The goal of Peter and mine has always been the same. It's not going to change. How to help the industry transform to where it needs to move, which is keeping the shopper at the center to deliver quality products at value to the consumer. Peter, please close out the episode.
Yeah, it was really great, Sri. We discussed when we would issue this kind of a retrospective episode. Would it be 20,000 downloads, 75 episodes, 100 episodes, 1 year from when we launched? It was just kind of arbitrary. We just felt like it was a good time to do that and really share.
I'm disappointed, Peter. It wasn't arbitrary. It was Valentine's Day.
All right.
Not only did Valentine's he cheat on me, not wear pink, he calls it arbitrary.
Well, let's just say it could have happened many times. There was a special significance. Valentine's Day is about sharing the love, and we just wanted to share the love back to our audience for making this podcast so incredibly successful.
Thank you, Peter.
And very moving. Hardly a day goes by, or even half a day goes by, without Sri and me getting some kind of message from a follower telling us how much they loved a particular episode. You've got feedback, you've got ideas, send them our way, because we listen to them. We want, you know, we say this all the time, but we really do want this podcast to be reflective of the interests of our audience. And you've done a great job doing it. Keep it coming, because that's what we're all about. And with that, I'll just say, Sri, as always, thanks for this incredible journey. I'm having so much fun doing this, and it just wouldn't be the same without you on it.
Likewise, Peter, thank you for being the partner and co-host on this journey, and happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
All right, everyone. Happy Chinese New Year. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy President's Day. And thank you, as always. We'll look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.